The Word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, of the joints and the marrow, and is a critic of thoughts and intents of the heart. All Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourselves approved unto God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. All right, we're in Romans 16. Romans chapter 16, verse 16. Romans 16, 16. The local church is the classroom of Christianity. This ought to be completely apparent to anyone who has any regard for the New Testament. Paul and others established local churches in the Roman Empire. And they did it at a great cost, but they got it done. So, your responsibility as a believer is to assemble in a local church that takes the Bible seriously. And I mean seriously, as in verse by verse, book by book, doctrine by doctrine, and the result is that you grow up spiritually in Christ and lay hold of those things that are reserved for those who take the Creator seriously. This chart illustrates two of the adjustments to God. If you don't get anything out of the Bible class, know this. There are three adjustments to God. The first is the big one and gets the individual off of the big hook, and that's the salvation adjustment. That puts the believer, the individual, free from eternal condemnation and assured of eternal life in a resurrection body. It's one step, one simple step. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. There's no other steps needed. The second adjustment we call rebound. After salvation, believers will continue to sin. Sins of ignorance and known sins. What are we supposed to do? Well, it isn't just muddle along, say, well, I shouldn't have done that. No, you confess it to God anytime, any place, under any circumstance, and boom, you're back in fellowship. It does not require works. You don't have to do something to make it up. Christ died for that sin. You confess it, you're forgiven. Unlike other places where people have people jumping through all these hoops, you don't have to do anything but name it, and you're back in fellowship. It's based on 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, third class condition. Maybe you will, maybe you won't. If we confess our sins, He, God, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. All who have believed in Christ, this circle, are in Christ. You're either ruled by the Holy Spirit or you're running under your sin nature. We don't have the third adjustment illustrated here on our overhead. That's the maturity adjustment. Guess what? Very few believers will make this adjustment, not because of anything that's the fault of God. It's just they don't have the positive volition to get in there, stay in there, and grow up in Christ and assimilate incrementally through face-to-face teaching in a local church, the mind of Christ. We have the thinking or the mind of Christ. And that's why we give you a few moments before every Bible class to check yourself, because you can't, none of us can progress like we should if we're sitting here and we're out of fellowship for any reason. So rebound often as you need to, and let's roll on with this. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, since man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from your mouth, we've so assembled ourselves together this day to receive those things that are necessary for spiritual edification and growth, to imitate those who went before us and did it right. Bless our time together in Christ's name. Amen. All right. We're at the tail end of Romans. I looked at my I looked at my handwritten notes. The last page in my folder, they were all handwritten back in the day. And I completed the study November the 4th, 1987. That's when we completed Romans the last time. And we're about to do it now. Okay? But we're at the end of it. And this is the sign-off stuff. All the heavy-duty doctrine came earlier. Not that there isn't any doctrine in this, but the systematic presentation of the plan of God, this is as heavy-duty as it gets. All right. The holy kiss. Are we practicing this around here? I'm not asking you to. Well, just greet. Paul is writing to the Romans. He's never been there. He really wants to go there and be with the Christians in the capital city, the big, bad city of Rome under the Caesars. He's in Corinth, that's southern Greece. And it's from there that he writes this letter. But he, as we saw earlier, he had tied up all of his obligations with regard to his missionary efforts in Greece and elsewhere, and he was headed to Jerusalem to take an offering, a big deal offering, taken up by the Gentile churches to help out the believing Jewish Christians in Judea and Jerusalem who were hard-pressed economically due to persecution and bad weather. And he was, with others, taking this considerable fund that had been collected from all these Gentile churches, but he knew he was going in to the lion's den. The Jewish leadership, there was one man they wanted to take down, and that was Paul. Because he was one of theirs, an up-and-coming Pharisee who broke ranks, believed in Jesus Christ, and they were out to get him. And so he went there. They took him into custody, put him before a trial. You know how he got away from them? Sure you do. You were here. I learned this in ancient civilization course. He says, I appeal to Caesar. You had to be a Roman citizen to do that. A non-citizen couldn't do it. He was a full-fledged Roman citizen. So they had to back off. And he got on a ship and went to Rome. Not the easy way. So he hasn't been there yet. He would get to Rome. He would get there as a prisoner. He would be under house arrest for 2 years. That doesn't mean house arrest means a soft type of incarceration where he could have visitors and come and go and bring him stuff and do everything he needed to do. So he got to Rome and he got released from his first Roman imprisonment. They let him go. The date, the timeline is around 57 AD that this went down. Okay. He says, after all these other, these preceding, where he's asking them to greet certain individuals, he said, greet one another with a holy kiss. Greet is our standard word, aspazomai, which means to greet or welcome. It's an imperative. One another. With, the word for kiss is philema, the Greek noun. With the adjective hagios within a context. And then he says, all the churches of Christ greet you. All the churches, this is the Gentile churches in the Roman Empire, all the churches greet you. Point one. The holy kiss, as it is called here, it's a custom. People would go up to each other. We might shake hands or hug somebody even. But it was a custom and still is in certain places in the world. There's nothing wrong with it. It's a custom of greeting. It is enjoined elsewhere in the New Testament. 1 Corinthians 16:20, 2 Corinthians 13:12, and 1 Thessalonians 5:26. Peter calls it the kiss of love. 1 Peter 5:14. 3. This kiss was and still is a custom of extending a friendly greeting. Here's a good one for you. This woman who anoints Jesus, who comes to Jesus, back in Luke, she's kissing his feet. She's so grateful for the grace that's come into her life. And Jesus says to the others out there, "You gave me no kiss. But she, since I came in, has not ceased to kiss my feet." Luke 7:45. For her tremendous gratitude of being delivered from her life prior to her salvation. This kiss was practiced in the early church as a token of love for the royal family. 5. Judas employed the kiss in his betrayal. Luke 22:48. But obviously that wasn't good. But it still was what he did. Among believers, what is important is the mental attitude in our greeting of one another. We are royal family. And as positive royal family, it behooves us to greet one another as is appropriate. And it must be done without any fakeness, phoniness, or anything like that. It has to be sincere. It has to be based on the agape principle, because when you're filled with the Spirit and God, the Holy Spirit, one of the manifestations of it is love. Love for the brethren. Love for positive volition. So what, among believers, what is important is the mental attitude in our greeting of one another. 7. Paul here encourages the Roman Christians to greet one another. See, this seems like a small thing, but it's a solidarity factor. They're the minority. They're in the big bad Roman capital city with all of its paganism and all of its customs and traditions. And these are believers who stepped away from it and in effect said all of this paganism is wrong. Here's the truth. And guess what? They had to say it's centered in a person that the Roman authority, in conjunction with the Jews, were responsible for crucifying him. But what, you want to hear the upshot? God raised him from the dead. And he's the Savior, and this is it. And so this Christian movement within Rome shook things up, as it did in other places. Because people do not easily want to give up their traditions from their forefathers and all the culture things that relate to superstition and paganism. The Romans, like everyone else, they had a god and a goddess for everything. This fake attempt to go to the moon that just failed, it was called Artemis. Artemis is the Babylonian female deity for the hunt. Before he went out hunting, as a Roman, you offer sacrifice, offer incense up to this non-existent Artemis. I read up on her. I was just curious. She was not a nice deity either. Some of them were nice, and some of them weren't nice. They had this stuff all over the place. This is the ancient world. And we studied in Romans that otherwise intelligent mankind fell into this is because they rejected the revelation of God through the creation. We have an elaborate creation. From the smallest organisms up the ladder, they're interdependent. the more that they study the biology of these things, they realize how sophisticated they are. And so what it screams, or should, is that there's a creator, a designer, that he alone can bring into existence that which does not exist. Boom! Rather than nothing created everything. Nonsense that I was inculcated with in public school. Oh, it sounds good. It's elaborate. It's got big names. Wow, 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 wow. It's junk science. There's good science and there's junk science. Well, it's a theory. The last time I checked, a theory isn't a fact until it's proven by repetition and investigation. You can have a theory about anything. It's the theory of evolution, or as some quip said, evolution. But we're not smart enough to say anything. These things cannot evolve and come out whole. Common sense. So some little lightning struck some pond or something. I mean, it's just crazy. God created it. It's all in Genesis 1. And this attack on the Bible through science in the ancient world, it was religion. When they blew off God, it's like they opened up a vacuum and they sucked in all of and manufactured all of these deities, elaborate temples, and all this other stuff. Well, we get into the so-called modern era, and we got to have science now. We got to have a Big Bang theory. We got to have an evolution theory. We got to have a theory of gravitation. Well, I'm not going to get into that today. We have a separate doctrine, biblical cosmology. It's earth-shattering. It makes perfect sense. And it complies with the Bible. Paul tells the Roman saints that all the Gentile churches extend greetings to the Roman believers. They want to know this. They want to hear this. There's other Christians, they hear they're out there. It wasn't like you can just run over there. You had to walk or get on a ship or something, ride an animal. Travel was possible, and they had roads. But they need to hear this. By so doing, Paul infers that this demonstrates the solidarity that prevails among churches he was associated with and the Roman church. And I put churches out there because in the city, a big city like this, you had separate congregations, as will be noted here. But before we move on here, before he has an important warning. You are in an angelic conflict, you and I, and we have to keep our guard up. Just like soldiers out on a battlefield. There may be a period where nothing's going on, but you have to keep your guard up. Because the target is to bring you down, if possible. Okay? Verse 17. Now, I urge you, brethren, keep your eye on those who cause dissensions and hindrances, contrary to the teaching / doctrine which you've learned, and turn away from them. Okay? This is critical to your survival as a believer. Urge is the verb to exhort or encourage. In this case, urge is fine. Parakaleo is the verb. It means to call someone alongside. That's the breakdown of the Greek. Now I urge you, brethren, keep your eyes is one word. It's a present active infinitive. It means to keep one's attention on. So the New American rendering of this is fine. Keep one's attention on. Keep your eyes on those, definite article, who cause dissension. First of all, dissension. It is the noun. dikostasia. And it's also found one other time in Galatians 5:20. And hindrances, skandalon. We get our word scandal. Skandalon, that which causes stumbling. Hindrances. And then he says, contrary to. Preposition para, the teaching, didache. The teaching or the doctrine which you learned, the Greek verb for learn is manthano, which you learned, which you learned, and turn away from them. Actually, in the Greek, we have which you learned to do. And turn away, it's a command, imperative. Ek klino means to turn away from something, from them. Then he further describes these people. Now again, he isn't saying they're under attack right now. He's saying that this is going to rear its ugly head. And you have been forewarned that there will be those that will come on as Christians, not pagans. They're not going to listen to pagans. This attack doesn't come in from pagans. It's coming from corrupted believers. For such men are slaves. This is a description of them. They are slaves. For such types are slaves, not of our Lord Christ, but of their own appetites. The word for appetite is koilia, which is the Greek word for the stomach. Here, metaphorically, for their own appetites. And by their, and here's their tactic. They don't come on and yell. They come on nice. Nice guys. And by their smooth and flattering speech. Their speech is described here, smooth talk. Christologia. Only here in the New Testament, this Greek noun. By their smooth and eulogia. This can be used in a good way. It's the word for praise. But in this context, it's flattering speech. They deceive the hearts of the unsuspecting. Deceive is ex apatao, means to lead astray or deceive the hearts, the cardia of the unsuspecting. This can be innocent, those that don't have their guard up, those that aren't where they need to be, akakos. One, just before Paul concludes this letter, he issues a direct warning with respect to false teachers. Remember, he is an apostle. He is there. He has authority from God. I, as a pastor teacher, have authority to speak and communicate Bible doctrine. Okay? It's an authority structure. That's why some people don't like it. They don't want authority. Who's he? The local pastor teacher, bona fide of a local church, has God-given authority. And he's responsible to exercise it properly. That's why I teach dogmatically, emphatically, and all the rest. Throughout Romans, he has been building up his readers so they can discern truth from error. Three, the doctrines taught in this extensive letter, he has been preparing the Romans indirectly. For we should not conclude that these agitators and false teachers had infiltrated the ranks of the Roman church. That wasn't a problem at this time. They didn't have this attack. This attack hadn't come up against them. We suffer a variety of attacks as believers to try to overturn our faith. We have a sin nature. It's genetically in us. You can't get rid of it. It's the product of being related to Adam and Eve historically. Their DNA changed when they ate that fruit that they were told not to. The one command, don't eat this fruit, demonstrating their loyalty to God. Well, they did, and here we are. Our sin nature and our aging gene are a product of the fall of man. That's where it came from. Perfect science. They talk all the time about altering, usually not good, altering human DNA. So the Bible, that's why it calls the sin nature the flesh. It's in every cell of your body. And it seeks to impose its agenda on the real you. You have a lust pattern. We all do. We have to stay on our guard and not let it dictate and run our lives and drag us down, which it does for so many. Because the lust pattern has power lust, materialism lust, approbation lust, and of course sex lust. And that's why the world's in the turmoil it is. People are running under their lust pattern. We're told not to. Okay. We should not conclude that these agitators and false teachers had infiltrated the ranks of the Roman church at this time. 5. Paul does not directly take them on as he does in Galatians and Colossians. The false teachers that came into the Galatian churches were Jewish, they were believers, and they told them that Paul's gospel wasn't right, that you had to do more than just believe in Jesus. And guess what? We got them all over out there today that says, no, that isn't enough. You got to also be baptized. You got to also do this. Salvation is not of works. I have refutation after refutation. The Bible says it's not of works. A ritual is a work. Or that you can lose it because you did something bad. Well, ostensibly, then any little sin, you ought to be able to lose it. Pathetic. You can't overthrow your salvation. You can't mess it up. You can't become super evil and even mess it up. You can't. God honored what you did back in the day when you believed in Christ. He gave you eternal life. It was a gift without strings, without any future requirements. We are kept by the power of God day in and day out. Good believer, bad believer, whatever. Well, they came into Galatia and they said, you've got to be circumcised, you males. You have to do the Jewish Mosaic law rituals and all the rest of it. And the Galatians, they got knocked off track. And Paul had to write Galatians to get them out of this swamp they got themselves in. Because they weren't smart enough to say, this isn't what I heard from Paul. Get out of my face. Hit the road. But they didn't. They entertained these types. He was aware of these types and the potential for false Christian teachers to come against the believers in Rome. 7. False teachers are responsible for all the divisions within Christianity from apostolic times to the present. All the different denominations. There shouldn't even be denominations. There's no hierarchy. There's no church of. It's just the local assembly. We can fellowship with other like-minded believers and churches, but that's not what I'm talking about. There's not a headquarters. There's not a top deal. Graphically illustrated by the insanity of the Catholic Church, which, by the way, is the topic of Revelation 17. Babylon, and the city that rules over the kings of the earth. Rome. More specifically, Vatican City, a city within a city. And all that mess, there's no way the New Testament reflects that. And then these other denominations that teach a variety of things, good, bad, and good and bad. It's not denominationalism. It's independent local assembly churches. How do I get the seven churches of Asia Minor? Book of Revelation. They weren't connected to a head up here and all the dictating who'd be the pastor here and moving people around. And all, no, no, no. They're independent entities. That's the way it's supposed to be. He tells the Romans to have their guard up. keep your eye on for this eventuality. To be forewarned is important in life. We should do it with our children. We should do it with anyone we have a responsibility for. We need to forewarn them so they can be on their guard. And that is what I've tried to do with my congregation. For these types cause dissensions. We could also say divisions. Among adjusted believers. And as such, they are stumbling blocks, hindrances to those who have been taught sound doctrine. Paul doesn't want these people to be, let's have our guard up. When they start saying something that contradicts what we got in this letter from Paul and others who taught us right, hit the road. I don't have time for you. I'm not going to entertain you. Here's the truth. The Galatians were prime examples of infiltration and contamination of the faith of those believers. 11, we are to make special note of anyone who comes to us with viewpoints that contradict what we have learned. I try my very best to document every doctrine, to lay it out, give you the detail, so you can function and protect yourself and know the truth and all the benefits that come from that. Anyone who advances concepts and doctrines contrary to what we have learned are to be completely avoided. That's the right thing to do. If you hang out with certain people, you associate intimately or closely with certain types, it'll rub off on you. You can't lay down with dogs and not smell like a dog or some other animal. It's called separation. It's a part of survival. I knew this even in school. There are certain kids, we're not hanging out with them. They're troublemakers. They weren't just your typical teenagers. You knew they were on a path that wasn't good. And so you exercise some discernment. Because these are the types that are going to wind up dead early in life or in prison. No. The Bible's full of it. All this stuff. Note this type of personality. And go the other direction. There's a lot of unsavory types out there. And all this junk that's being promoted today is okay. That even maybe 5 years ago, you would have said, oh, they won't be doing that. I'd have probably said it too. Up is down, down is up. It is corrupt. And it's infiltrated our highest academic institutions. You know, our Ivy League schools. Poison ivy. Communism has taken over. Wokeism has taken over. There's big divisions in the Catholic Church now because the Pope wants to bless same-sex so-called marriages. Well, just throw the Bible out. And some of the bishops and stuff, they can't go along with that. So some of them get canned and all the rest of it. It's amazing. But this is the last days, and it gets worse as we get deeper into them. It gets worse. Yes, there are voices out there trying to bring sanity to this whole thing. Well, I hear it every day. They're doing what? Parents are taking their kids to have them mutilated in a sex change operation? Who's the worst person here? The parents or the doctors that will do this for money? Promoted by the American Medical Association. And the authorities, oh, okay. Yes, there are voices saying this is evil and corrupt. You want to do this to a kid? Much less some stupid adult has it done to themselves. because I'm not that gender. Yes, you are. I got the biology to back it up. It's a different chromosome setup for a male and a female. Wow. This is the insanity that has gripped our nation. Jesus made it clear, as it was from the beginning, man and woman, that's the relationship. And you can call it whatever you want to. It will never change. And all this is, and look at it, it's popping up. This wrath of God's going to continue to pop up all over the place in terms of weather disasters and other kinds of things. Nations are held accountable. And he's going to come, and he is coming down on these things and on these places. And of course, now we also have this big upsurge of hate Jews, anti-Semitism, because they were maliciously attacked. And you have people dumb enough to side with the Palestinians as being in the right. They've been shooting rockets into Israel. How'd you like someone shooting rockets from some other place into your deal every day? And have guys walk, or people walk in there with weapons or an explosive backpack. I think the Jews have been pretty restrained. But when they came in there and butchered men, women, babies, old people, they didn't just kill them. They cut them into and threw their parts up in the air and raped women and then killed them. This is what they did. In those homes. Now the Jews are going after them. I pray for them every day. Bless their efforts. Give them good intelligence. Well, innocent Palestinians. Nobody's down there is innocent. If you are a Palestinian, if you were raised Palestinian, you know what you'd get in your school from day one? Hate Jews. This is our land. Hate Jews. They said the military's gone into the schools there. Well, they also have stashed weapons because they use their own population as human shields. Anyway, they have found maps for the kids for school, for maps, geography. Israel's not on it. The land area is, they call it Palestine. Well, like it or not, there's a nation over there called Israel. You ought to like it because it's a fulfillment of Bible prophecy that God said in the last days. He would regather the Jews from every place that he scattered them and bring them home. And it's a process. And most of them are in the United States right now, population-wise. We have the biggest population of Jews. They're living uneasy in a lot of these places. They're under attack just because they're Jewish. And God said to Abraham, those who curse you, I will curse. And those who bless you, I will bless. Well, some people are up for some big cursing to the point of genocide, divine genocide. God has wiped out whole nations. He's going to take the human race, what is it, 8 billion? He's going to take this human race. It's coming right around the corner. And most people are as blind as they can be. I was going to say a bat, but a bat can navigate real well. They, right around the corner, this wrath is coming. And when it's all done, I will reduce mankind. It'll make it as scarce as the gold of Ophir. Well, you have to know where Ophir is and what kind of a gold find they had there. But everyone will get a chance. Every person will get a chance to make the salvation adjustment once we're out of here. And it can't happen too soon for me. This is disgusting. The world's always been corrupt with evil because of the preponderance of negative volition. But now, the restraints are off, and this thing is just going full-blown. Who knows what they're going to advocate next? It's okay. Yeah. From the river to the sea, that's the motto of the Palestinian protesters. They want the land from the Jordan River to the sea. They want to take it over. They don't... They don't want a two-state solution proposed by our president or whoever. No, they don't want that. They want all the land. Well, it's going to be from the river to the sea. When it's all said and done, Israel's going to have all the land from the Euphrates to the sea. I gave you the documentation. That's the land grant that God promised to Abraham and his racial, spiritual descendants. A Jew that doesn't have the spiritual component winds up in hell just as fast as a Gentile. Back to this. The doctrine of separation must be applied. I've come under a lot of attack, it's not people calling me and things, but I have come under a lot of attack for teaching the doctrine. Well, there's no love in that. Love? You separate. I got all these verses in the Bible. Don't be around this group of people. Now, if you're around somebody and you want to give them the gospel, fine. But we're not having a relationship until you demonstrate that you got positive volition. Then we'll have a relationship. Well, I'm glad you're a believer. But you believe in, you can lose it. I don't have time for this. You can't lose your salvation. Or you're one of those believers that say, at a certain point, you reach sinless perfection. I got a verse. If we say we do not sin, we lie, and the truth is not in us. You sin every day of your life. Knowingly or unknowingly, you commit a sin. Unknown sins are things you didn't know, it wasn't brought to your attention through Bible teaching that this is a sin. So, I cover myself. I use generic rebound. Jesus taught his disciples, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. If you're non-forgiving of another believer for something or another person for something they did, you don't have to condone what they did. But if you can't forgive it and you harbor this, you're not going anywhere spiritually. We're to forgive as Christ forgave. And yes, people are going to do us wrong. That's the way all these verses, you know. If you got an enemy and you had an opportunity, you don't go out of your way. But if you had an opportunity to help them out, you do it. So, 1 Corinthians 15:33, bad associations corrupt good standards. My translation. Bad associations corrupt good standards. I'm not going to be around that crowd. I'm going to hang out with them. And it can be family members too. And it will be family. It doesn't matter with family. I gave you this very clearly that Jesus said, who are my mother and my brothers and my sisters? I'll tell you who they are. They're outside out here. Your mother and your brothers are out here wanting to meet with you. Yeah, they wanted to take him back home. They thought he'd gone off the rocker. You know, this is Mary. this is the so-called Virgin Mary. And they were up there in Galilee and Jesus was having a meeting in a building jam-packed and some woman pipes up. Your mother and your brothers are out here. Jesus didn't say, who told you to talk? He said, I'll tell you who my mother and my brothers and my sisters are. Those who hear the word of God and do it. This is the spiritual family. And it takes precedence over the other family. I've had to separate from family members. I did it nicely. I wasn't mean about it. I witnessed to all of them. They thought I'd gone off my rocker when I decided as a young man to go into the ministry. You can do so much better. You got a better mind than that. That's what I was told. I could go to school and make a bunch of money. What the hell is a bunch of money going to do me when I check out of this life? It'll do me any good. Some of these billionaires out here, oh, please. Well, you're real old too, aren't you? But you got billions. It doesn't commend you to God. I don't care how many charities you demote, you promote. You can't buy your way to heaven with your good deeds. No, we do not envy the prosperity of the wicked. Better is the little of the righteous than the abundance of many wicked. That's a proverb. And who wrote that? A really rich guy by the name of Solomon. They most likely will arise from our own members As we here in Maranatha would be quick to shut down any who might try to infiltrate our ranks. Now, I cannot. That type, somebody coming, a stranger from the outside. What we've had is those from our own inside taking believers aside and working on them. Meeting in their homes. And I warned people, if they want you to come over socially on the pretext to badmouth the pastor or the teaching, I'm out of here. How hard is that? I'll pray that you'll wake up and I'm not going down this path. Also, another thing, avoid the plethora of so-called Bible teachers that are prophesied to arise in the last days. And we're so far down the road now, but this is a prophecy of the last days. 2 Timothy 4:1. Paul's final words to his son in the faith, his protege, Timothy, who is off in Ephesus, and Paul's under his second Roman imprisonment, in which he will be martyred by Nero. Nero martyred both Peter and Paul. Nero died in the same year under miserable conditions. Which one would you rather be? I solemnly charge you, see, he's an apostle, so he can do this, in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is the judge of the living and the dead. And I broke that down for you, that all members of the human race are going to be in a judgment before Jesus Christ. There's separate judgments. There's ones for believers, church age believers, blah, blah, blah. And then there's the final one in which every unbeliever ever lived on this earth will be resurrected. And their souls will be taken out of hell and plugged back into their bodies. And they'll appear before what is called the Great White Throne Judgment. And they will be judged out of two sets of books. The book where their name isn't written down in it, the book of life. You never made the salvation adjustment. The second book, your works, your deeds. They're not good enough to earn salvation. Anyway, and by his appearing in his kingdom, he tells Timothy to proclaim the word, be ready in season and out. Well, I've known my out of season times and my in season. And here's what you're supposed to do with those that you're teaching. Reprove them. When they're out of line, reprove them. Rebuke them. Exhort them with great patience and instruction. For the time will come, and this is where we're at up to our ears, when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance with their own desires, and will turn away their ears from the truth and will turn to myths. That is a prophecy that is fulfilled. We'll pick up after our break, our coffee break. Here. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity. May God, the Holy Spirit, enlighten us in Christ's name. Amen.